From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in frictionless Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix, I too make nice games.
For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. Ellen has snuck in some notes, and from there we're going to try to come up with a complete game by the end of the episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. So, if everyone is ready, let's start.
What was that? Ellen snuck in some notes, you say?
Yes. Yeah, Ellen cheated.
That's not how this normally works.
No.
Yeah, typically Dale comes up with a topic for us. And they're always really fun topics. Mm-hmm. But Ellen had a prompt. She was very excited about it. She was really giddy when she was going to explain it to us. So.
Yeah.
I have been thinking about this for weeks. I'm sorry, Dale, for stealing your thunder. I owe you one. I don't know how I'll make it up to you, but...
It's a strict violation of the rules, but we're going to see if we can get away with it.
Yeah.
Before we do, we have a little bit of meta to talk about the top of the show.
Yes. I made a movie. Mm. Well, it's a minute long, so it's not like super exciting. But listeners, I've been talking about, it's kind of interesting because I've been taking classes for a while now and on and off because it's been intermittent depending on how intense the pandemic is, I guess, in any given moment. It's kind of how I've been playing it. This class in particular has felt more public because there's stuff I'm making that I can show people.
Yeah.
I made a movie and Ellen hasn't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's only a minute long, so it's not going to cut into too much of the episode. but we'll link to it in the show notes and you can check it out. But I did a thing. Ellen, go ahead and play.
I'm going to watch it now. Okay.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's it. No, what happened?
Yeah. It's a minute long.
You've got to do another one.
No, I don't. I don't get graded for anymore.
You got to take the 102 class or whatever, because I need to know more.
There is a 102 class. But yeah, it took like a month or something to like the whole prep to filming to editing process of this.
Yeah.
For me to do it. And it's really interesting, to do it. Like, I guess like it's interesting to express myself creatively in a way that's not video games. Cause I'm just used to that mostly.
Yeah.
I've tried creative writing and I hate it. So I don't do that.
Is this like the first like art class you've taken in how long?
No, I've taken I took a 3D modeling class.
Yeah.
Much closer to the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that was intense because it was the beginning of the pandemic. And so I didn't feel like I did a great job. But I think I ended up getting a B. So yeah. I think they were pretty lenient.
Would I be right to guess that class is more about learning the tools and the workflow and less about like creating pieces of art?
Yeah, it was more of I did get to design things.
Sure.
But you're right. It was mostly learning how to do something in a in a tool versus like the act of like actively designing it. So this is different in that I don't think I've really I guess now that I think about it, I don't know that I've taken any college courses that are creative. So this is like the first. Most of my classes I went to school for engineering, so most of my classes were focused on math and science.
Yeah, real nerd stuff.
Yes. this is, it's different. I've been having a good time with it. Mm-hmm. Our next assignment is to make a 5 to 10 minute long movie, short film. And that'll be different. So like we're going to be talking about that later today. Actually, me and my group are going to talk about what we're going to do for our final film.
Yeah.
You're not going to continue this story?
By final film, I mean the final that we're getting graded on. That's what I mean. Maybe I'll make another film. I don't know.
Well, I mean...
But no, I'm not continuing the story, Ellen. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to sit there and guess.
Okay. I implore you, listeners. I implore you. Watch the 1 minute film. Come to the Discord and launch a bunch of fan theories about what happens at the end of this. Because I need to be satisfied with an ending to this.
Yeah. Please do listen.
I mean, that's kind of doing its job, right? Because the whole idea is to leave you wanting to know what's next and to never tell you.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's fun. I feel like I don't get to do that a lot in video games. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to do that in a movie.
That is like the power of expression is to like make someone think a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I've been enjoying it a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. Ellen. You've got a prompt. I guess you didn't like. Did you formally write the prompt?
I did not formally write the prompt.
Okay, you're going to have to formally write the prompt so we can put it in the show notes later.
Well, I can say it, and then we can put it in the show notes the way that I say it.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Inside baseball happening right now.
Yeah.
So I want us to make a tabletop game where the core mechanic is modulating the friction on the board.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That is not exactly how you described it before.
See, I wasn't going to tell the listeners that we had talked about it before we started the episode.
Well, sorry.
Well, it's as if we didn't.
Yeah.
I guess,
we also didn't let Ellen get too far before let's say
right.
the show.
So yeah.
We probably weren't ingesting it so much.
That's true.
So the modulation is the thing that is the novel idea here.
Yeah.
Well, I guess when I say modulating the friction, the way that I described it ahead of time, and maybe this is a better way of saying it, so maybe we just go with this and not with what I said just now. I tried to make it short, with brevity, we could make it into a prompt, and I just ended up screwing it up. I need to play more Glom so I can get my synonyms in order.
Yeah, perhaps.
But the way I talked about it was being able to tilt the board back and forth and then somehow using friction. But I have an idea of what that could look like, but I don't want to just make that game. What I wanted to play with was the idea of using friction as a core piece of the gameplay. And maybe that's tilting the board around. Maybe that's using different pieces that have different interaction with the board surface so that you can control the friction. But playing with friction is something that I want to be in the game.
Yeah, you could do that with a modular system of components and surfaces, or you could do it by building a labyrinth-like toy.
Yeah,
Uses gravity to do some of that modulation.
Right.
And then instead of rolling, it's sliding. Right.
Yeah, yeah. That my immediate thought was, you just place carpet tiles or random other stuff on a field, and then you slide it or roll.
What's interesting about this is that you could board game this out by just having stats for these things.
True.
Rather than actually physically producing, rather than dealing with material science.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's is what you want, Ellen, and nor do I think that's particularly exciting, but you could totally see a version of this that is just numbers on cards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think you could make it that way.
That would be how you'd prototype it, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Although then, you have really specific maths, and then you'd have to make the materials match the maths. Whereas before, you could start with materials and then make the maths match the materials. I don't know. There are different ways you could approach it. I don't want it to just kind of be reduced down to a tabletop version of shuffleboard. You've played shuffleboard?
Yeah.
That's the game in the bar where you have the long table with the sand on it.
Yeah.
And you flick the, it's tinier curling. Maybe. But I don't think it has to just be that. That would be, I'm envisioning this as a smaller, something that would fit on a regular table. Sure. Yeah.
Well, okay. Question then, what other actions can you do that involve friction that feel unique to this game?
Well, that's for us to decide, I think, right? I mean, obviously sliding.
That's the question.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Obviously sliding is friction, right? How do you interact with friction? You interact with either friction with the air or friction with the surface. And it'd be really interesting to do a tabletop game where you're interacting with friction.
Or you could have
air.
A sealed thing with, viscous liquids.
That's kind of fun.
Those hourglasses that are actually just cylinders filled with slime.
That could be kind of cool. Another thought I just had is that instead of you trying to slide a thing into a position, or well, I guess this is still sliding a thing into position, but instead of in curling where you're trying to move the curling rock, Mark, correct me.
You just keep going.
Okay. Where you're trying to move the curling rock or whatever it's called into a specific position.
It's called the house.
The house. Okay. That you correct me on. you are instead trying to slide the curling rock or whatever over objects to move those in the particular positions instead.
Well, that's the thing we haven't really talked about is like, what is the actual aim of this? Is it like shuffleboard or curling?
Right.
Or is it just, or is just the mechanic things sliding or moving along? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Is that really the point? Or is it more like, could it be like bowling?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I suppose, right.
It's like your goal is to get, is not to get them all down, but to get a certain number of them down. And so that would make the surfaces and the, you know, the control relevant.
Right.
That's different from, say, landing in a target.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's still targets, ultimately. Yeah. And I'm not sure there's another way to do it. But, like, we haven't really decided what the actual mechanics of the game are.
Right.
Independent of the mechanics of, you know, this utility of the...
Absolutely. Okay, so let me reframe the question then. Ellen, what is it about friction that seems interesting to you that you want to explore in a board game?
I don't know if I can think of a single board game where there's actually friction involved.
I see.
Like, as like a tabletop game.
Yeah, the idea of friction in a board game is what's is interesting to you.
So I did read this coincidentally. I read this very long article the other day about this sort of like tabletop soccer simulation game.
Oh, fun.
It's called Sabutio. I think.
Sabutio, okay.
I guess started like Model Railroady, where it was just about like you had like a giant a football pitch that was the size of essentially a foosball table.
Yeah.
But it's all to scale. So all your players are really tiny.
Oh, fine.
And they're like lovingly painted and they represent, you know, they're come in different colors that represent your teams. And this is a, I don't know, about 100 years old, but it's a very long hobby.
Yeah.
A very old hobby in the UK, or it started in England. And, but I guess there are rules to it as a game.
Oh.
Like, it's eventually developed into a game where you do flick and move and stuff.
Oh.
And I read this incredibly long article about it.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea how the game is played. I just read this, like, account of, like, the tournament and all the culture around it. I'm like, interesting. Yeah. How does it work? I still don't know.
Okay.
But, so that's, I was just reminded of that.
Yeah.
I read this thing the other day. But there has got to be other examples of games like that. There's definitely a whole category of like tabletop games where you flick missiles at opposing ships.
Yes.
Right? That's a little genre. I don't know that there's a ton of commercial examples, but they do exist.
Yeah.
And those are sort of independent of the, like, you know, your tabletop and those materials are what they are, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. And so there's no modulation involved. So that would be there's still a lot of novelty to be had in whatever idea we come up with. But I think there are examples of games that are more physical and rely on positioning and sliding interactions of objects. But I can't think of a lot of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Cause I haven't played a lot of them.
I can think of a few, but they're like, they require a modulated, a special table, you know, like foosball or like air hockey.
Yeah.
Or like shuffleboard, right? Not like, it's not... What was the name of the game that you mentioned, Mark? I missed
it. Sabutio, I think is Sabutio. How you say it.
I wanted to look it up.
I think it was the name of a brand or like a nickname or something, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
Oh, okay.
It has like its own etymology.
Yeah.
That's outside of soccer, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's very... It's funny that at these tournaments, the players wear jerseys and like they take it really seriously, and I think there's some, you know, knowing irony of it all. It has a very Model Railroad, but it's a game kind of vibe to it.
That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
The official website of Sabutio says stay home with Sabutio.
They haven't updated their website since mid 2020, probably.
Oh, that's wild. I think I'm bumping into the same issues that you're bumping into, Mark, in that like, there's a lot of different ways that friction presents itself in a game, but like they basically design the board around that concept. And we want to design a board around the concept of changing that friction to suit some purpose. And really the reason why you would change the friction of a thing is to slow down or speed up that object at certain points, right? So
that's what they do in curling.
That is what they do in curling, yes. I guess that's kind of where I'm at is like, I still keep going towards interchangeable tiles or like you've got wood tiles, you got carpet tiles, you got ice tiles. That's not realistic, but you know, stuff like that. I mean, you just swap them out and that determines how Well, I guess actually the strength at which you hit the ball can always be consistent. And that could be something that's kind of novel about this game that from others.
The deal with the with games where you do, you know, flick things across a table, the variable is the flicking.
Right.
Right. If we which isn't to say we couldn't also do that, but if we wanted to just narrow it down and really focus on the material science of it all, then we would need some kind of like apparatus that deliver, you know, this predictable spring that delivers a consistent force.
I mean, it could literally be like a pinball machine, whatever thingy, but you have to pull it back all the way.
A simpler, more reliable way to ensure it is to have something that rolls down a surface.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or slides down a surface. So, it, like Ellen was talking about, sort of at the top was sort of an angled surface. So gravity does the and that remains constant.
That's a good idea.
And then you just release it after you've arranged, configured the board on your turn or whatever.
That's cheaper too.
So it's kind of, I mean, well, think of it like a game of Plinko from Price is Right, where the randomness in Plinko is it bounces from pin to pin until it gets into a thing at the bottom. You could have some control over something like that by, you know, it could be just a, an array of tiles that you could try to guide a thing to. And that could even be like curved, you know, the 3D printer could do this. And 3D printer could print in nylon and in ABS and in other materials that provide different frictions. So, you know, well, let's assume the material science part of it is something we could solve.
Yeah.
That we could get what we need out of it. Right. I think you probably would have some difficulty calibrating that so that there's enough variation, even for materials that are really different.
Yeah.
But let's just pretend that's a problem we can solve.
Yeah.
Because we can't really work that out on air. But you could do, you could have things like, you know, guiding a path. Actually, this is very similar to when we had the courts in and did the pothole game.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I'm just thinking of that idea again.
To some extent, I think that, I suppose, like, we had you had to fill it in with, like, the idea was, like, you'd fill in the potholes with putty or something.
I'm just thinking of the game mechanics, which is, like, drop a ball down a path and use the tiling or whatever to guide the thing. And I'm just thinking, it's the same idea, but it's by a different physical mechanic. So.
I suppose.
Well, yeah, we're just talking about the mechanic. It's funny though, because while you guys were talking about what you were talking about, my brain went to the same place, which is if you're going to play with friction as like your core gameplay, then you can do that with different types of materials, different sizes of pieces, and maybe different materials of pieces, and then different applications of force. And it's like, we're all like, okay, different applications of force, then they're done that. Let's focus on the other thing.
Well, I like that, like a piece could be like a sled and you could add weights to it.
Yeah.
That would be a really, and that would also be a very useful variable because it's very grokkable.
Yeah.
And it can provide high variability.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have an idea because you said sleds and now I'm thinking about timing. What if you have your goal is to try to hit the end point at a certain time? So like you need to get it as close to 30 seconds as possible.
Oh, interesting.
And so like what you could do is you know, you swap out all the different the different tiles to change the friction. Then you drop the sled or ball or whatever it is. And then you roll down and the whoever gets the closest, each person does that, and whoever gets the closest to 30 seconds wins.
So I have a narrative conceit for this.
Okay.
How important is it that the mechanics of this are relevant to the theming of it? Because if not, I've got a great idea.
Okay.
Oh, I want to hear the great idea. I don't care about the premise of the question.
All right. So let's imagine it's the setting is some sort of one of the boxcar or
a kart race thing?
No, it's the thing that's in a bunch of old movies where a kid and their dad builds a thing and they go on a hill.
Yes.
What is that?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was like slot cars or something.
So it's like that, essentially.
Yeah.
And so you have a bunch of different competitors at the top of the hill. They all slide down.
Yeah.
And the players are competing time travelers.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Oh my God!
And their goal is to affect the outcome. So you're not trying to see who wins.
Yeah,
you're trying to see who's in third place, who's in fifth place, because that'll determine the futures of these kids who grow up to become rocket scientists or whatever.
Amazing.
And it depends, you know, who makes it to Mars first.
Yeah.
So like,
that's brilliant.
So. All right, I'm getting lots of support for this, so I'm glad.
Amazing. So,
Ellen is thrilled.
Love this so much.
You know, so it's you know, Time War Derby or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah. That's so good.
It's so ridiculous.
Okay.
And so, like, you get maybe scenarios are like, you know, come up, and it's like the goal is to, and maybe part of the, now it's, this is outside of the sort of friction parts of it, but you could be, yeah, there could be some strategy involved with like guessing what you think the outcome should be. And then by using some sort of context clues or puzzle solving, and then you run the thing, and then you see the result, and then you flip the card over, and then what happens?
Yeah.
And then you see if you got the result you were hoping for.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Ellen.
Does every player have a different objective then?
I don't know.
That would be kind of weird.
It could be, I mean, I think what you'd want is you'd want each character reflect, I mean, just for simplicity's sake, like, mm-hmm, some, you know, that they want the outcome that benefits their nation state or whatever in the far future.
Sure.
And then the outcome of the race is, let's just, the goofy conceit is, this is a small town where everyone grows up to be like, you know, has the potential to change the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you put the cards at the top, and then you draw the scenario, and then you, the players have to guess which of the players, based on some biographical information, is the one that would help them the most and which would help them the least. And then there's some sort of outcome of, like, you can get really narrative with it. Like, if this person comes in second, that'll actually inspire them to go into a different field, which will benefit us in the far future.
Yeah.
So it should be very non-linear in a sense.
Yeah.
And then you just run it. So you have like a thing you want to happen, but you don't know if that's the thing that should happen. So there's two components to it. There's the actual, the execution, mm-hmm, but then there's also the, is this even the right thing?
Yeah.
And so that means everybody's not competing for the same, like, I'm not competing for this person to win, you're not competing for that person to win. I don't know necessarily what you're competing for, and you don't necessarily know what I'm competing for. Because we're both making guesses.
Yeah, yeah.
About,
yeah,
what to do, which feels Time War to me, you know?
Yeah.
Butterfly, no, effect and all
so
that.
So I like, there are some cool things we could do with this, right? So one, like the match, I don't know if it's, is it Matchbox cars? No, those are the
little
ones.
We're never going to remember what this is called.
Yeah.
No, okay. Listeners, help.
Yeah.
nicegames.club/discord or feedback, either way.
Soapbox Derby.
Soapbox. Okay.
Soapbox Derby.
I looked it up.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense. Because
I was like, never going to remember that.
Yeah.
Time, yeah. Okay. Because if you get on a soapbox, you're actually like standing a good chunk higher than everybody else. And a soapbox is enough to fit a little kid.
That's probably why.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
There's my headcanon.
Yeah.
Oh,
if it's wrong, I just said all the things. Yeah. You can come in and correct us.
Yeah.
anyway, back to the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I like what you're... Because you could have different... We love our scenarios. Mm-hmm. Right? But you could make all sorts of scenarios. As long as there's some sort of race component,
yeah,
you could set up a different scenario. Like, okay, in this mission, you're influencing kid who is in a soapbox race, and you know if they come in third, then they're gonna have just the amount of like pressure to improve and humility to make a stellar career out of themselves.
Yeah.
But in a different mission, you've got to go back to like when mammals were first evolving and they have to outrun a predator, you know. The entire shape of mammalian evolution.
Oh, I was kind of thinking it would be soapbox derbies determine the course of all history.
Yeah.
I kind of love that idea too. But
that is silly.
Yeah, I do. I like that too. Yeah.
That's great.
That's like, yeah, that's like the expansion comes, yep, with the different sets, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay, so
wait, I have one more idea.
Yeah, yeah, continue.
Yeah, so the other thing I was thinking of is, yeah, if the players are time travelers, maybe they could have a resource that they spend, mm-hmm, and that's like the degree to which they can alter the physical reality of the past.
Yeah.
And they maybe have to spend that resource in order to make changes or something like, sure, that. Just an, yeah, idea. I don't have any specifics. Anyway, just want to toss that.
I like the idea of there being It's just turn-based where you like, I'm going to do this. And so you have some opportunity to interfere with other people's plans.
Yeah.
But everyone gets like a couple of shots to like modify the board. But yeah, how do you not make one player's action too powerful, but also not make it too random or so easily thwarted?
So big
unknowns here.
We've been thinking of it in terms of competitive. And I'm wondering if it makes more sense for this game to feel cooperative, because my mind keeps going towards the crew sort of.
Yeah.
In that, like, I guess everybody kind of has competing desires. But everybody sort of wants the same situation to happen. Like, I don't know. It's not a fully fleshed out thing. Yeah. But the way
you draw the scenario everyone has to work together.
This kid has to get in third place, make sure that they get in third place.
Right.
And everybody needs to work together to figure out how to do that. And they have to take turns to manipulate the board so that that happens.
Yeah.
That could work, but you don't sound excited.
Well, I just, there's something absurd about a time war.
Yeah, no, I get it.
About like, like what is the point of it all? It's kind of like it's just a little commentary, I think.
No, all of that is good.
When you're fighting over something so silly, it, even if it has big consequences, it lays bare how silly war is.
Yeah.
I think. Mm. I don't know. It's a big dumb idea, I guess. But
working, that's nice game stamps, though.
I mean, I always love a game where you work together.
Yeah, yeah.
But part of me is like, well, then it's just adventure.
Sure.
You know.
No, that's fair. Okay. Well, let's make competitive.
That said, that we could get our way to a complete system a lot faster with a competitive thing.
Sure.
I think.
But I mean, let's challenge ourselves.
Okay.
And yeah, I agree. Especially I also really like the whole concept and what the game means with respect to that. Mm-hmm. That I think people will enjoy, assuming this is on the shelves.
yeah.
Okay. So if we're gonna make it competitive, yeah, how do we determine the player's input? You were talking about it in terms of turns.
I think maybe
in terms of resources.
Maybe what we should talk about is actually how you actually affect the board. So like not how the players do it, but we think if we're doing friction, then our soapbox cars won't have wheels.
Yeah.
They will in the scenario, but in our materials they won't.
Right.
They'll slide along a surface. And they'll have different materials for the road, the car, and then the weight. Mm-hmm. That's three variables. That's
the road, the car, and the weight. Yeah,
that's because the two surfaces contribute to the friction, and then the weight contributes as well. So
that's interesting because I hadn't considered it in that way. But like, you definitely can just manipulate the drivers themselves, right? Or their cars, their carts, whatever, their soap boxes.
Yeah.
and you can get different results just through that, and instead of having to manipulate the terrain. Theoretically, could you manipulate the hill?
Well, I was sort of thinking yes, okay. But that was like we were thinking that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't bother with that.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I kind of like that. I kind of like doing it, though.
Well, let's...
I don't know.
I mean, you could fictionalize it with, like, oil slicks or, a paved path.
Or you
went back in time 3 weeks ago and made sure that road was paved. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you could find a way to sort of storytell that. And it could be that maybe if the downhill road has different lanes, because everyone's in their own lane.
Yeah.
Right? There isn't a lot of, like... it's just down the hill. No one's going in front of each other in a soapbox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not safe, but like, it's not that unsafe.
Right.
And then, so you have lanes and then you have, top to bottom. So you have essentially a grid.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a lot of cells in this grid, but each one of them could have a different tile that you place that is different material.
Yeah.
And then those can be adjusted. And it could be, so now I'm thinking of like time travel in the sense of like Bill and Ted, where Bill and Ted are like, oh, we went back in time and we put this thing here, or we're going to go back in time to put this thing here. Oh, look, there it is.
Yeah.
And then the villain is like, haha, I knew you were going to in the future do that. And so I am later, now that I know this, going to go and then, make sure that that's a dud.
Yeah.
And like, that can be the vibe.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And so it can really just be like, so you can do and undo actions.
Sure.
And your currency could be just like trips.
Trips. Oh, yeah. Trips, you know, back in time.
And you could do like trips you already took. So preemptively. So you bank a couple of actions, but then you could also make some trips after you start seeing the scenario, because that's how time travel works.
Yeah.
You can resolve to do it later. And now that you know some things, you have you have fewer of those opportunities.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fun.
And that could just be, yeah, just swapping out tiles with whatever, mm-hmm. I guess. And then, but also swapping out the boxcars with whatever, or adding or removing weight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now you're
changing the angle.
You're just pulling strings at this point, and they're not really that different from each other. So maybe it needs to be more interesting than that.
Well, there's different things. We were talking about like different things you can manipulate, and that would affect certain things, right?
I was getting ahead of us though pretty far, because I was sort of saying we should not get ahead of ourselves, and then I did. But okay. But what do you think of like the idea of like the downhill slope being a grid of tiles that manipulate?
No, that's great.
That feel interesting enough?
It simplifies it in a way. Okay. I think that makes sense. Yeah, I was imagining it as being like a row of stuff you can change. But them being tiles makes more sense, especially if you're trying to manipulate the standings of all of the racers.
Is it both? Is it like rows with tiles in the rows, and every racer has their own row? Like, is that?
Yeah, I think so.
You guys doing
effectively? Okay. Yeah.
So, and you know, just in terms of like materials, we can say that there are five, because you want to have some scenarios that have multiple placements or whatever. So five, but not, that's not too many. Mm. So like five, maybe five by five. So five lanes,
sure,
and then top to bottom five zones would feel interesting enough, because then each car would slide across five tiles on its way down.
Yeah, that's fine. Five by five. I was writing down the different ways that you can manipulate the standings of the people. Like, you can change the sign to the hill, you can change the racer carts, you can change the racer weights in the terrain. There's probably more that I'm not thinking about.
I think changing the slant of the hill might be a big ask for materials.
It not only is it a big ask for materials, but it's probably like a lot of, it doesn't, it affects everybody similarly.
I thought we were going to be,
what's up,
like, yeah, weren't we going to just like hand wave the materials question?
Oh
no, I mean components is, I guess, what I mean. Like, you'll have to build a system with hinges and steps, and it becomes a much more mechanical product if you have to tilt it, whereas if you just have a hill,
it's simpler if it's just a hill.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's just a static hill.
The thing I'm happy to hand wave is like, how do we make the slow and fast tiles? Like, what do we make them out of? What do we?
Oh, you know? Okay. I thought we were hand waving the entire everything. Question of manufacturing difficulty, but yeah.
It's a scope. Yeah. It's a scope thing, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the actual mechanics. Like, what do you do on your turn? You manipulate something. You just decide you want to change this racer's weight.
Let's imagine.
Yep.
That you this wouldn't be interesting, but just for prototype purposes.
Yeah.
You have five cars. Mm. Each car, before you start, you randomly determine which car goes in which lane.
Yeah.
And then you randomly determine how much weight is applied to each.
Okay.
Then all the players take a minute and look at that, and all the cars are numbered, mm-hmm. and they have a goal. They want some players, and maybe they don't want this player to win. They just want this player to beat this other player. Right. Sure. So it doesn't matter what, you know. So there could be different.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be part of the mystery.
Yeah.
Of what someone else is going for. And then imagine the only actions they have then is to place tiles or swap tiles.
It's only tiles.
This is just for prototyping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Imagine this is all you can do.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think, and so essentially you get a sense of what, you take a guess. You look at the cars and you see maybe the tiles are randomly placed at the beginning. And then you have to make a guess kind of in your head, like, who would win if we just let this go now?
Yeah.
And then you say, well, now what do I need to change to lean it closer to what I want to happen?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if I change this, and this, I have the idea that player is going to change that also, because they want that player to win.
Right.
But I don't want that player to win, but I want that player to beat that other player. So a racer, rather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I won't do that, even though I want that to happen. I'll let them do it on their turn. So there's some like guesswork involved, right? And so the only mechanic in this prototype version is just placing tiles. And everyone gets X number of tiles to place or swap. and maybe randomize who goes first or whatever, or some sort of like initiative system, because you know that you can undo somebody's thing. That I feel like that could be a mechanic.
Yeah.
Thematically, that makes a lot of sense that you should be able to do that, even though it might be hairy.
Yeah.
And so, but also you waste your turns by going back and forth and back and forth. So there's some anyway. So imagine that's all you can do. That's a full game. Then once everyone does all their turns, you release the stick and everyone slides down.
Yeah.
And then you see how it goes. And then everyone sort of, you know, counts up their victory points based on like how close to the scenario it is.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I suppose like we could score it similar to how we kind of scored in Robusta, not with die rolls, but I mean like you get scored based on how close you were to your target versus other people's target.
Yeah, or maybe it could just be a purely objective base. Like this worked for me, therefore I've advanced this far in the future war.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I suppose, yeah. Well, there could be, you can have multiple objectives.
Yeah.
You could.
And go ahead.
One condition equals this many victory points, right. And getting conditions equals this many victory points.
And that becomes very abstracted, but like it represents like concrete outcomes in the far future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I also like the fact that it's like, you know, points for the future war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
whatever form that's taking.
That's the phrase, too. Points for the future war.
Oh, that's great.
So I think you should be able to do more. You should be able to like, you know, change the weight on a car, or you should be able to like have a player break their leg or something, you know, like things that change other elements.
Yeah.
But if it's just the tiles and everything else is randomized, that does feel like a full game.
Yes.
It might not be fun enough.
I mean, it sounds interesting enough for players to, it definitely for prototyping purposes.
Yeah.
I think that sounds solid. Oh, it's cool. Really. I want it to exist.
I know.
Every time.
That's every time we make one of these that's a toy, it's like, we're not going to do this. Like,
yeah.
To bring my 3D printer out of mothballs and like.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'll cut out some felt squares.
Cool.
That's the thing is like, you know, with enough of if the thing has a default slope, like you could really do felt would be a suitable thing because, you know, you put that one toward the end, it doesn't slow you down that much. Mm-hmm. You put it further in the beginning, it slows you down quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You could also, I mean, you could have a tile that is just, that is like really like a very slippery nylon, but you could even have one that is meant to be an oil slick, but is physically a thing with tiny wheels on it. So it would actually just be like almost no friction, you know?
Yeah.
Like it would be, you could really, you know, make things interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's great.
Sandpaper.
Yeah.
You could get really crazy with the materials. Like these little squares could be like magnetic, you know?
Oh,
like
you could just
really satisfying. Like think of it.
Yes.
Clink,
yes.
Clink.
Ooh. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That's great.
I know, right? Although, get it if they're magnetic and they're flat. That might be tough to. Anyway.
Uh huh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So we probably said some things on this episode so far that were wrong. Like, I don't know. We're not still even sure whether soapbox cars are actually a thing.
What do you guys think the word derby means?
Good question. Probably like it's a hat. Yeah, it's a hat. It's a fashion statement.
It's a hat.
Okay, good. So we've definitely said something wrong. We hadn't up to now. So great. Just proceed.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So there's one example, and if you want to come and correct us on anything that's we've said that is wrong, please come and do that. nicegames.club/discord. This will help your fellow listeners learn from our mistakes. It will also usually spark a lot of interesting conversation with other listeners in the Discord channel. So we don't always just talk about how we're wrong sometimes. Usually what we're talking about is the implications of some topics we've been exploring on the show. And it's always great to get updates from other listeners as well, because everyone's kind of got their side projects going on. So it's not just a place to correct your nice host, it's also a place to build a little community and make some friends. nicegames.club/discord.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
I've been writing the rules down, sort of. I don't do the best job of writing the rules down as we're doing it, because I'm also thinking. But effectively, the game is, there's a 5x5 grid. You manipulate the things on the grid, each player, with different terrains to change the friction so that the player or the racer that you want to get in a particular... So you meet your own objectives. And that's where I wanted to go on to next, actually, is what the objectives would be.
Right.
You brought up the idea of like making sure this player... Racer, I have to make sure to use it because then people get confused.
Yeah.
This racer gets in third place.
Yeah. This 13-year-old probably.
Yeah. Yeah, this 13-year-old gets in third place.
Yeah.
Make sure that this 12-year-old is the fastest or beats this other racer or something.
All
like
the racers should have. I'm just distracted now, but all the racers should have like fun names like Jenny Too Fast.
Oh, I love
just
that.
A precocious 13-year-old.
Jenny too fast,
right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Billy Tumble.
Yeah. That's both of those. Excellent. I'm writing those down.
Just people you could not believe could grow up to be John Connor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but inevitably, in this version of the Time War, super will.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about like the objectives, the different ways that players can what the different things that players are going to want to try to do, because like if we can come up with enough variety, then we can kind of imagine the full depth of the game.
Yeah.
And theoretically, you know, in our spare time that we definitely have, we could make this and make it make a cool prototype.
So I think maybe the simplest way is you draw a card, and the card is missions from. You know, your HQ.
From HQ.
Right.
Yeah.
And you draw the card and it says, like, whatever your silly name is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It says, like, oh, this person, you know, racer number 3. And it could be sort of genericized. So, you know, you could shuffle them and it would still apply.
Yeah.
But, like, you just draw a card and it says, this racer 2 needs to beat racer 4.
Uh-huh.
And that's your only objective. Right. And then you could draw one that says, racer 5 needs to come in last place. Or you could draw a different one that says, like, racer 2 needs to win.
Yeah.
And so everyone draws one. And then through their actions, you can sort of suss out what other people's missions might be based on what they're trying to accomplish.
Okay.
And so you can thwart them. Or you can just focus on your thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So there's part of it is trying to figure out what other people are doing potentially.
Yeah.
Part of it is trying to make sure that you can complete your missions as best as you can. And I know, like, I know there are a few games. I'm thinking of Wingspan. Wingspan has a few, like, extra objectives you could get. Like, get the most birds with West in their name, directions in their name, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, that seems like it's the kind of thing that, like, we're leaning towards, is that kind of idea. But I don't know that we can... Well, okay, hold on, because I'm going to write those out. Can you say those examples that you had again?
You draw a card, and the card has one objective for you, and it would be, say, Racer 2 needs to beat Racer 4.
Okay.
That's your mission. Or Racer 5 needs to come in last place. Or Racer 2 needs to win.
Okay.
And that's your only goal, and it could either...
You only get one goal.
Yeah, I think so. At least this is the prototype I'm pitching right now.
Okay,
This may not be interesting enough, or it may not be interesting enough to suss out what other players' goals are. It might be too easy to figure out. We'd have to test that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for the sake of this, just one thing, and then we can complicate it later.
Yeah.
But it basically is just like an outcome defined in some manner. So either someone wins, someone loses, some one person beats someone else, someone comes between these two people, someone comes in third place.
Exactly.
You know, and so, but just one thing you need to ensure. One variable or one description of what the outcome is, not the whole outcome.
Maybe at the beginning of each round, you can choose three and pick one to keep for that round. Put the other two.
Oh, sure.
Like it might actually be interesting to sort of to make the missions very, very, to draw two, and then that's the two things that need to happen or whatever. Presumably, they didn't conflict. But I like the idea that there's some sort of choices you can make.
Do the missions need to be mutually exclusive? I mean, I guess they shouldn't be purely mutually exclusive.
No, that's an interesting question. I would say no. Okay. And I'm thinking thematically, but I don't know mechanically if it would be, you know, if everyone could just reach their goals all the time.
Right.
But presumably, if you think of like those riddles of like, you know, Sally is standing in front of Jim.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, whatever.
Who's on first?
Yeah. So presumably, and this would have to be, we have to test out, make sure the scenarios are so that you could, because, you know, this would have to be at least a three-player game then, I guess, because to draw two cards is almost impossible to make them mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
But we could find other ways to make that happen.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I mean, I kind of think it plays into the theming, which is just like, you know, the time mechanics, the time engineers of the year 2589 have determined that the outcome of the war was set during this soapbox derby of the year 2020.
You know what it is? It's a weekend tournament and they run like 15 races, right?
Sure, yeah.
So everyone can get their goal on a race, but then you do the next race. You do race after race after race, and at the end you see who has the most points.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and
different goals are worth different numbers of victory points based on the difficulty. So like Sally goes fast, you know, ends up in third is worth more victory points than, you know, someone ends up.
Well, now you have to come up with your own name for one of the racers.
Oh, you're right. Jacob Bumpy Wheels.
Okay. Sure. I feel like Mark's a little bit better at coming up with names, but but it's
I'm sorry, there were criteria.
You need something that you want to believe in, you know.
Billy Bumpy Wheels.
Oh yeah, well that changes it, I guess.
I mean, it's the alliteration, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't make you want to.
That does help a little bit, actually, which is ridiculous. Human.
I know.
We just like patterns.
You need like Rapid we Jennifer. Do.
Rapid Jennifer.
That sounds like the name she's known by.
Oh, yeah.
Not her.
It's what goes on the helmet.
You know.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Guys, by the way, while we were kind of spinning back up again from the bluer, I did take a look at soapboxderby.org.
Yeah.
And people make some amazing soapbox cars. There is one here that is shaped like Bullet Bill. It's got a Bullet Bill. We will put it on the website and link to the source. Amazing. Like,
great.
Yeah. So point being, we can go totally nuts with it.
Yeah.
The names.
This whole thing is about the danger of caring about something too much.
Yeah, I suppose it's true.
This is ridiculous and I love it. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I want to make this.
Yep.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
The other thing I love about this is one of those games where you can scale it up or down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like giant chess is a thing you can go do, and you have like kid-sized chess pieces that you're moving around. Mm-hmm. You could totally scale this up and just make the board bigger and make the cars bigger.
Yeah.
And
eventually you could just actually do it on a real soapbox hill. Like,
yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You know, this is an aside, I think, but like I don't know that we've ever designed like a game that was built for like an expo where you'd have a bunch of random people playing it and it'd be kind of like a show floor piece, you know, like an art piece, not an art piece, but like
someone walks piece. Up to participate and they have to learn it as fast as they play it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I can cheat next time and make that the next game jam.
Yeah. So that's the kind of like a game where essentially you're given a tennis ball that's covered in Velcro, and then you like throw it at that. Yeah. Like, that's the game?
Yeah, something yeah, like yeah, yeah. that. Yeah.
And then there's something interesting happening, mm-hmm. but the player doesn't have to know really of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know, that'd be kind of...
Pop-up games.
Separate aside.
That's a good... That's actually a good prompt. Like, a, you know, a game that you don't have to learn.
Yeah. Fascinating. That's cool.
So we're at the point where we have kind of a complete design.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really playtest this.
Right.
Exactly. But let's talk about what the questions we would need to answer before, for like, would we need to add things? So,
good point.
Like, I mean, part of me is starting to think maybe this is enough, but, you know, are the scenarios interesting enough?
Yeah.
Or are they too rote? Is the variables that you have control over, which is just the surface of the road, is that interesting enough?
Mm.
Is player interaction interesting at all?
Right.
You know, maybe not.
Yeah.
And is that dynamic between, and this is the sort of, this is, you know, thing I like to do, which is players can play for their own goals. And then if they're thwarted, so be it. And, but they're focused. So they spend all their energy and all their turns on their own goal. So that's effective.
Right.
Or is it a war of attrition where everyone's trying to mess with each other?
Yeah.
And then everyone's scores are lowered, but it's very competitive and interesting. That's thematically interesting because that's how you lose the time war,
mm-hmm.
right? This one, just need to have a summit. But, yeah. But like, would that happen? Would players be motivated to do it one way or the other? Would their motivations change based on what other players are doing? If everyone's just working for themselves, then I'll work for myself. But like, if everyone's working for themselves, I'll start thwarting them. But then maybe I will lose because I'm not working enough for myself.
Yeah.
It requires us all to try to thwart each other.
Yeah.
For the thwarting to work at all. I don't know. Those are the things that would be interesting to see how the players interact with each other.
Yeah.
And are the rules as we have them now enough to make any of that interesting or happen at all? I don't know.
My guess, we'd have to play test it because you're right. We don't know. Yeah. But my guess is I would be concerned that one mission per player is not enough to create that kind of intrigue sure. that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I think another concern I have is that the missions themselves are solvable in a way. I mean, I guess we only come up with examples. We don't have any concrete ones. But like, I think the missions themselves could be solvable in a way that like does not particularly encourage a lot of player interaction in ways that I think we want.
Yeah, I did think about that, which is related to another problem, which is if we randomize the cars and the, you know, what material is on the underside of the car and then like, well, how much weight goes in each car?
Yeah.
You stack little tokens on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then presumably some objectives would just by random chance be extremely difficult to achieve.
Yes.
And so you as the player are then now differently motivated. And Boston has this too, where it's like, this is going to be hard for me. So what power do I have? I can now thwart other players.
Right.
And because there's over many rounds, presumably the randomness would even out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think it might balance itself in that sense.
Sure.
But one might be more powerful than the other, or both might go unnoticed.
Well, and we were talking about it being over like 15 rounds or something, depending on how fast.
Yeah, so like how many actions you have. If it's going to be a lot of rounds, and each round needs to be relatively simple and short.
Yeah, you got to win the war, not the battle.
Right. Yeah. And that's the whole, I mean, that's thematically, that's what's interesting about war games is like the slog and the ups and downs.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But it's still a game, so the ups and downs need to happen. The story needs to be that, but the experience shouldn't be the slog.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel like this game would be played pretty fast.
Yeah.
Just because you're only making one decision, and the decision to swap a tile out, right?
Yeah.
So like, that's not that hard.
And how many turns do you have per round? Like, you know, what's that? Is there some mechanic about like banking those actions? You know, you have 15 rounds and you have so many time points or whatever it is that Ellen was talking about.
Yeah.
The currency you have. Like, maybe I'm going to spend a lot on this round.
Yeah.
And that could be a war of attrition too.
That'd be cool.
Like, I really want to get this one. Well, someone's like, well, that one must be a lot of victory points to that person.
Yeah.
And all of that unknowedness about it, which is what causes dumb things to happen in war. So, and then, you know, toward the end of the war, everybody's spent. Right,
that
what it is, right, or something, right, or you're judicious and you hang back, you see who's doing well, and you save your points for later. Maybe that's a good strategy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's so many ways to go about with this. It's
Yeah, I think playtesting would absolutely be the next step.
Yeah, and then the numbers of it is like how much of each piece or how many of this happens. That would really change a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we were actually going to move forward with making this, I think the first thing we'd probably want to do even before playtesting is play around with the materials, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the first thing you do if you're making a platformer is you get some good jumping, yes. Right? Yeah. You just want the jump to feel good.
Yeah, you have to build the board, you have to commit to how that mechanics works.
Yep.
And then you have to then you have to wrap the game around it, and any changes you'd hope to make get locked off or opened up for you.
Just the act of sliding something down the board would have to be fun.
Yes, and that's another part of it. Is like when you do pull the I'm just imagining like a stick that you.
Yeah.
Actual matchbox races work that way, right? Mm. So I'm just because that's physically what we're building. Yeah. So the thinking of that's a different sort of theme.
Yeah.
But anyway, that action of it happening is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what would we need to make sure that actually feels interesting and not just like, let's just do it so we can get to the next round.
Oh, sure.
You know? Exactly. So some sort of like thing of that.
I feel like that honestly is something that, well, I feel like because they're like marble racing or whatever, or like, you know, people just like let marbles go and they create character just based off of that.
Yeah.
I feel like
baseline,
we're good. We're set on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still worth testing, right? Just to see if it is.
And board would need to have one extra mechanical piece, which is that actually keeping track of who came in first, second, third, fourth, fifth or whatever.
Yes.
Which would just be little tabs at the bottom or something like that. So we wouldn't have to like argue about that.
Yeah.
Especially if there's like photo finishes, right?
Right. That is true. That's important.
Yeah.
You have to figure that kind of thing out.
The tabs would be tough. Although you could get them all into like one shoot. That could be, if they all come together in one shoot.
Oh, I see. That would
it would force an order.
Yeah. Unless they were milliseconds apart, and then they would just jam the system.
True.
Yeah, but that's exactly the reason why I think that would need to be the very first step of this is because people like to race marbles. There's this whole franchise called Marble Run where it's basically like puzzles you put together and then send a marble through it, mm-hmm. right? But like we want them to have fun in a very specific way. Right. And so I think testing things out to make sure that like that's happening within the space we want to have it happen along the time frame that we want to have it happen would require a lot of physical prototyping, honestly, and iteration. I think we get it right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has to,
it should be fun.
Yeah. And then you build it that it works and then you take away as much as you can so that it can still work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're really thinking about product design, you know,
I also kind of toyed around with this idea in my brain occasionally is like the idea of making games out of junk. It's like games that can't be reproduced.
Right.
And I kind of love the idea of doing that here where you're just like, okay, I am going to the recycling center and I am going to get materials that I can somehow machine or cut into these specific size squares. And some of them are going to be felt, and maybe you have a few things that are felt, but you also have a collection of just one-off squares. And those one-off squares are just there for anybody to use, and you don't know what the materials are. Well, you know, as a game maker, you should probably know what the materials are so you're not putting something toxic in front of your players, especially if you only have one copy of the game.
Probably.
Because then your players are likely going to be your friends.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be kind of fun, too. It would be, I think this is another... The act and the process of making games is what's most fun for me.
Yeah.
This would be a super, super fun game to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
You know, what's interesting about this is that it reminds me a lot of, what was that game we made a couple of jams ago where it was the two of you with straws blowing on the surface? Mm-hmm. And that was a similar thing. Well, like, I think this is just, Ellen is continually thinking about piles of junk in games because I'm reminded of that, and it has a lot of similarities in the sense of the sort of the materials part of it and the chaos and the physics.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to build that game now again.
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, I don't think I've laughed that much in ages.
Oh boy, that was such a silly.
Yeah.
Such a silly.
I don't know how many times I blew out that mic during recording that.
Yeah.
Amazing. So good.
What we need to do is we need to build an empire so we can sustain this idea.
Uh-huh.
And then what we need to do is that we do a jam and then we pick out, you know, employees amongst our empire to do it.
Yes. There it is.
And that way we can just generate, we can just be an idea engine every day.
That's the dream.
I know, right?
new idea. Make this in a day. Thank you.
Listen, anyone... Hey, we're proof. Anyone can be an ideas person.
Yeah, yeah.
Making money from it is a different set of criteria.
Yeah.
Good points.
NiceGames.com/Patreon. No, that's not where you go.
Patreon.com/NiceGamesClub.
Yeah, cut that one out. I ruined the joke.
Yes, okay. That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, NiceGames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. I will try to compile them nicely. Visit us on Threads at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and sword combos. Reply there on Threads or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be interviewing RV Takari, a.k.a. Hempley, about puzzle systems. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Yeah.
I made a movie, and Ellen hasn't seen it yet. Ellen, go ahead and play.
I'm going to watch it now. Okay.
Okay.
I'm pressing play. There's a house.
Live commentary.
Yeah.
There's for the listener in the car who can't play along.
Yeah, that's true.
Get Ellen's live.
Yeah. Somebody's scared. They're walking. There's a blue jay. The sound of a blue jay. I don't see the blue jay. I'm freaked out.
This is a good review of it, though.
Okay, he made it home. He jumped up all the stairs. I gotta pause. Did he just jump? I gotta rewind for 5 seconds. No. Sorry. Whoa, he jumped up like almost all the stairs in one go. There was like six stairs, and he just jumped all of them, like almost all of them at once. I wonder how many takes.
Like, that's not quite the takeaway, but,
you know.
It's impressive.
It is.
He's washing the dishes. It's later in the day because it's dark now.
Uh-huh.
Now there's somebody watching him. That someone has a camera. It's spooky.
Yep. It's a minute long.
Oh my god! Do another one. No.
No, I don't. I don't get graded for anymore.
You gotta take the 102 class or whatever because I need to know more.
There is a 102 class.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.